A Life of Jesus, a devotional study by Melva Purkis. First published 1956, reprinted 1964 and 1973. Foreword. Writers of biographies usually find that they are helped by the shadows cast by their subjects rather than by any nobility of character radiating from them. Weaknesses reveal more than excellences, so many apparent virtues are counterfeits. But Jesus cast no shadows. He stands irradiated by the light of heaven, beloved of God. Those who abide with him glow in his light, and even the wrath of his enemies is transmuted into the glory of love when it falls upon him. He is altogether lovely. It is impossible to write a biography of Jesus for another reason. We become conscious as we write that we are not approaching a subject, but a living person. And as our pen writes of his earthly life, we become more and more aware that we are writing in his presence, and then become convinced that his life should be written upon our knees and exercised in our lives. My purpose has been to present a simple picture of Jesus, so that the reader may be encouraged to look even more reverently at the man who can be confused with no other man, and meditate more frequently upon the words that could have fallen from no other lips. To undertake so much is to feel a sense of presumption which is only tempered by the knowledge that God's strength is made perfect in weakness, and he is sometimes pleased to make use of an imperfect vessel to further his eternal purposes. One or two observations seem necessary in introducing this work to its readers. It is essentially a devotional and not a theological book. It is designed to help in the work of feeding the flock, rather than in the equally necessary task of casting forth the nets. It may not do much towards clarifying the understanding, but it is our prayer that it may help to warm the heart. This self-imposed limitation has meant that some important and interesting matters have been passed over without critical examination. Points such as the date of Christ's birth, the historicity of Luke, the genealogies of Matthew and Luke, the use of prophecy in Matthew's Gospel, have not been discussed. Abundant evidence awaits the student on these subjects, and to have paused to examine them would have clouded the purpose for which this book was written. The chronology of the Gospels is not an easy problem to resolve, and in this I have been generally guided by the order of events in Mark. Where it was not possible to follow that Gospel, I have, in the majority of cases, yielded to the reasoning of Samuel Andrews in his Bible Student's Life of Our Lord. The parables recorded in the Gospels have been fully dealt with by Brother John Carter in Parables of the Messiah. The discourses of Jesus recorded by John in the same writers, the Gospel of John. These two subjects have therefore been only cursorily covered here. It is an arrangement not altogether without advantage, since it allows a greater emphasis upon the life of Jesus, as distinct from his teaching. Our knowledge of Jesus in its deepest sense can never be something we read about him in a book, or even in the Gospels themselves. It must always be a sacred communion with him in the sanctuary of our own devoted hearts. It is with the earnest prayer that it will help us to love and serve him that we dedicate this humble work to him. Melva Purkis. Prologue. The redemption of the world by Jesus of Nazareth is the entrance of the eternal purpose of God into this temporal sphere where man lives his human life, records his history, and returns to his dust. For 33 years, that purpose was worked out day by day in the life of the one who lived in a small country on the outposts of the Roman Empire, and died on a plot of ground outside the walls of Jerusalem when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea. History shows us a garden tomb, a military guard, frightened disciples, and anxious rulers. With this background, there was wrought out the eternal purpose of redemption. We see nothing of that outworking. We see only its evidence in an earthquake, a stone rolled away, an empty sepulchre. That is history. 40 days later, on the Mount of Olives, we see a band of disciples looking steadfastly into the heavens. That is history. As a cloud receives their Lord out of their sight, history merges into eternity. It is in this setting that the pages which follow find their true perspective.